Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is Cloud Computing and KICS 5.1. My name is David Long, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide 2, the agenda. In today's session, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to cloud computing and KICS 5.1. Next, our panel of experts will answer the pre-submitted questions. Then we will open the lines for live question and answer period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of today's session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like our panel of experts to introduce themselves for today's call. First, we have Pradeep Gohil. Please go ahead, Pradeep.
Thanks, David. Hi, everyone. My name is Pradeep Gohil, and I've been a software developer in the KICS transaction processing department in Hershey Labs for a little over 10 years now. I've developed on several releases of KICS, and recently I've been part of the development team that has provided the KICS Cloud Enablement feature, and I specialize in the KICS bundles area.
Thank you, Pradeep. Next, we have Ben Cox. Please go ahead, Ben.
Hi there. I'm a software developer, again, working on KICS Transaction Server for ZOS. And recently, I've been working a lot with KICS Explorer, especially with our cloud enablement.
Thank you. Next, we have Dan Millwood. Please go ahead, Dan.
Hi, yeah, my name's Dan. I've been working within IBM for about 18 years on the ZOS platform. I joined the KICS TS team about 5 years ago, where I led the KICS integration testing team for a while, and then a couple of years ago I moved into KICS development to help work on the KICS cloud features.
Thank you, Dan. And next we have Paul Cooper. Please go ahead, Paul.
Hello, everyone. I'm Paul Cooper. I've been working in KICS for the last 15 years, working in development, particularly around KICS Web Services, and more recently around the bundle technology in KICS, which is part of our cloud offering.
Thank you, Paul. And finally, we have Chris Hodgins. Please go ahead, Chris.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris Hodgins. I've been a KICS Flex SM developer for the last 8 years as part of the KICS product. Also specialize in CMTI. I'm the cloud technical lead for 5.1. And
Thank you, Chris. Before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, Byron Baldwin will be presenting the technical overview. Please go ahead, Byron.
Thanks, David. Today we will be talking about cloud computing and its functionality and capabilities when used in the KICS TS 5.1 environment. During this discussion, we'll be covering how KICS TS 5.1 utilizes cloud computing and its artifacts. We'll also cover the benefits and the key technologies used in cloud computing with reference to KICS TS 5.1. Lastly, we'll discuss the steps to adopting cloud and the benefits it provides. At this point, I will turn it back over to you, David. Thank you.
Thank you, Byron. We will now begin our question and answer session with the questions that were provided by the panel. I will now hand the presentation over to our panel of experts by moving on to question number 1 on slide number 5. Please go ahead, Dan.
Thank you. So the first question that we came up with was to really start at a very high level at the beginning. So we wanted to just talk about how KICS version 5.1 utilizes cloud computing. So if we could move to slide 6. So we wanted to start this presentation by discussing what we mean by cloud computing, and then go on to look at how KICS 5.1 provides cloud capabilities. So in 2009, Gartner defined cloud computing as a style of computing in which scalable and elastic IT-enabled capabilities are delivered as a service to external customers using internet technologies. And Gartner also described 5 attributes of cloud computing. And if we look at these 5 attributes, we can see that KICS and ZOS already provide a number of these capabilities. So the first of these attributes is service-based, and here Kix has support for web services and other standards which allow services to be exposed with well-defined interfaces. The second attribute is scalable and elastic, and here the KixPlex systems management component of Kix, often called CPSM, together with ZOS Workload Manager, enable Kix to be scaled up or down to meet demand. The third attribute is shared resources, and it's common for Kix and ZOS resources to be shared by multiple applications and users. The fourth attribute is metered by usage, for which Kix monitoring records usage information for Kix tasks, and that could be used for chargeback. And the fifth attribute is uses internet technologies, for which Kix has first-class support for internet technologies such as TCP/IP and web services. So as we can see, there is a good fit between cloud computing and the capabilities of Kix. So if we could move to slide 7. So what we decided to do for Kix 5.1 was to start aligning all these great pieces of Kix technology that we described on the previous slide, making them simpler to manage and easier to take advantage of. We introduced the concept of Kix Cloud and looked into how we could simplify the deployment and management of Kix applications across a KixPlex. We focused on areas such as how to describe applications using tooling, for example, describing the set of resources an application requires, how to make it easier to install, enable, disable, and discard applications, and how to make it easier to monitor usage at the application level. And we believe that this will enable you, our customers, to use Kix as a platform for delivering cloud offerings within your enterprises. So to support Kix Cloud, we have introduced some new cloud computing artifacts, which Chris will describe next. So I'll hand over to Chris for the next question.
Okay, can we move to slide 8, please? And move to slide 9. Thank you. So, there are 5 key cloud artifacts for Kix in version 5.1. The goal is to simplify application construction, provisioning, and management in a way that instills trust and confidence. In other words, it shouldn't be complicated to deploy and manage your applications. Applications must move away from being a large collection of resources you have to manage individually to a single abstraction of an application that identifies precisely the contained resources and allows you to control the life cycle of the application from a single point. Migrating applications between development, test, and production requires knowledge of each environment and certain services your application depends on. To move applications with confidence, it's important that the dependencies can be modified and tracked and the environment is clearly described. Otherwise, how can you be sure the migration will just work? Monitoring and billing of your application usage has typically involved the accumulation of information across multiple transactions. What we actually want to monitor are the high-level application operations like a shopping cart update or a change to customer contact details. Finally, strict business requirements require a strict policy of enforcement. There is a need to establish a contract that defines the behaviour of applications in each environment. So, on to slide 10, please. Okay, so let's now look at the new Kix artifacts introduced in Kix Transaction Server version 5.1 and see how they align with these goals. The first artifact is the Humble Application. This is a single entity that both relays the health of the entire application but also provides a single point of control for resources installed with the application. From here, the strict life cycle of an application can be managed from install, enable, disable, through to discard. All resources act as one. The new platform artifact describes the environment in which an application resides, defining not just the topology of the environment, but also the shared services that platform can provide hosted applications. The glue between the application and platform comes in the shape of application binding. This artifact describes how an application should be deployed into a platform, It is here that decisions can be made about dependencies with platform services such as TCP/IP services and libraries. As the application can't change and the dependencies are declared and mapped to the health of the application, migration between development, test and production can be achieved with confidence. Within an application, entry points can be declared that describe the high-level operations an application can execute. I mentioned two examples earlier of a shopping cart update or a change to customer contact details. These operations for a specific application and platform are passed into KIX 110 SMS monitoring records, so monitoring and billing can be handled at the application rather than the transaction level. This artifact is called the application context. Desired application behaviour can be described with the new policy artifact. This allows each platform to define limits to application behaviour, such as CPU time or storage usage, and the consequences of an application breaching those conditions. These policies can be triggered at the operation level rather than the resource level, allowing one small policy rule to monitor a lot of specific application processing. So to summarise, application provisioning and monitoring has been greatly simplified, with KIX applications now being managed by the application itself and not at the resource level. These powerful abstractions exposed through the new artifacts will allow much greater confidence in working with and migrating MAP applications. Now I'd like to pass you to my colleague Paul, who will discuss the core benefits of the KIX Cloud.
Thank you, Chris. Slide 11, please. Okay, so the next question is to consider some of the main benefits of cloud computing in Transaction Server version 5.1. Slide 12, please. Okay, so one of the benefits of cloud computing is that you can manage your KIX environment using concepts that make sense to you from your business domain. For example, an application in KIX can represent a business function such as sales or accounts. And you're not limited to 8 characters, so you can assign meaningful application names. Now, similarly, a platform represents a deployment target in your environment. So perhaps you have a unit test environment and quality assurance and production environments. If so, you can use these names for your platforms. Now, a platform can be made from multiple region types, each of which represents a pool of cloned KIX regions. So, for example, if you find it useful in your environment to categorize groups of KIX regions as terminal-owning or application-owning regions, you can use this terminology for your region types. And crucially, the terminology that makes sense to you is what you'll see in the KIX Explorer when you interact with KIX. So they become part of the user experience of managing KIX and for deploying applications. Now, moreover, you can actually monitor performance and track availability by individual business application. Slide 13, please. So one of the main benefits of Transaction Server version 5.1 is the ability to set threshold policies. And we've fully integrated this with the benefits of platforms. So you can define CPU or storage constraints on a platform on a platform-by-platform basis. So if a rogue application uses too much CPU, you can configure KIX to either issue a message or to emit an event, or even to append that task. So, for example, you might decide to configure a low CPU threshold in your unit testing platform, but allow a much larger threshold in production where real business data is being processed. Another benefit is around the control of your KIX environment. So KIX bundles are used to group collections of resources together within an application, and they can be deployed and managed as a unit. And you'll hear more about that shortly. But you can provision and deprovision an entire application in one action from within the KIX Explorer. And you can also add platform-specific bindings to an application. For example, you may have a KIX web support application that you want to expose at a different URI in each platform. And you can do this by customizing the application through its platform-specific binding, without changing the application itself. The application also offers a mechanism to share responsibility for resource definitions amongst multiple people. So an application developer may construct the initial Kix bundles and store them in your source code management repository, and then a subsequent system programmer can extract, tailor, and deploy the artifacts. Thank you. Slide 14, please.
So what key technologies are used in cloud computing as related to Kix? Moving on to slide 15, please. For a start, Kix bundles are an integral part of the Kix cloud, and they span many parts of it. For those who haven't met Kix bundles before, a Kix bundle is a collection of files which can represent many different Kix resources and dependencies. They're installed into a Kix region as a single unit of deployment. And it's this collective deployment that makes them so powerful, because you can have instant control over a number of resources, allowing you to manage their lifecycle as one. What the Kix cloud then does is to scale up this use of Kix bundles so that you can install multiple resources across multiple regions, differentiate what gets installed where by classifying your regions into region types, and then lifecycle the whole thing together. And this means that service providers who create platforms can develop their platform by building resources into the Kix bundles that form their platform. Applications and the platform infrastructure can then use these resources. Similarly, application developers can put together the resources that comprise their application into bundles. Then, even better, all your platforms and applications can be kept under version control from Kix Explorer. They can be shared between developers. They can be moved together through development, test, and production. Another key part of the Kix Cloud is KixPlex System Manager. KixPlex SM is a very powerful way of managing your KixPlexes. What we've been able to do in the Kix Cloud is to take the enormous power of KixPlex SM and simplify it to make creating and managing topologies as part of a platform and installing resources into them using platforms or applications easy. So if we move on to slide 16, the glue between all these elements that we've seen is Kix Explorer. It's the Eclipse-based environment for managing Kix, and it's where you develop the resources and the structure of your applications and platforms, and it's where you can keep it under version control. It's also where you can control the lifecycle of your applications and platforms, installing, enabling, disabling, and uninstalling them. You can see the current status of your application. You can drill down into its various aspects and diagnose problems with it. And in addition, using plugins such as Kix Performance Analyzer for ZOS and Kix Interdependency Analyzer for ZOS, you can dig deeper into your application, perhaps finding additional resources that it uses, or diagnosing hotspots, all using the application context data that's now available to you. And Prad will tell us more about this as he answers the next question.
Thanks, Ben. Can we move on to slide 17, please? So question 5, what are the steps in adopting cloud, and what are the benefits from adopting cloud computing? So slide 18, please. Right, so we've heard about the various artifacts and benefits from the Kix cloud functionality, but it's good to also keep in mind that it's not an all-or-nothing technology. The adoption of the cloud features can be done in small incremental steps. It's more like a journey or roadmap, and the more effort you put in, the more benefits you can get back out again. So as we heard, the technical adoption path is not all new Kix functions, and at the heart are Kix bundles. So Kix bundles have existed in Kix for numerous releases now. Kix bundles allow you to define numerous Kix resources and provide a single management control point to lifecycle all those resources together within a Kix system. Applications take this a step further and allow the management of resources across an entire plex of Kix systems. So bundles aren't only useful for defining resources, they also have the capability for stating dependencies on other Kix resources. So this can be used very effectively to check preconditions for applications, and especially in platforms. So using dependency checks, for example, in a platform, you could check that a JVM server is available or the DB2 connection is enabled. It's a very quick and easy way to provide health information for a system or application. And you can add dependency checks without having to modify any of your existing applications or changing how those resources are currently defined. So if we move on to slide 19. So you can start by deploying a platform or application with a few dependency checks or only defining a few of the resources. And that would provide your quick status indicators via the KIX Explorer. Then over time, you could move more and more of the KIX resources out of the traditional CSD and BAS repositories and define them in the application instead. Then you can source control, deploy, lifecycle, and manage all of those resources as a single entity. So once you have KIX applications, you can identify key resources to tag as entry points into the application. In KIX Transaction Server version 5.1, you can identify program resources as entry points for your application. And then when workload uses those programs, then the tasks will have an application context associated with the workload. The application context consists of the platform and application names, the application version fields, and an operation name. So when you have entry points setting the application context with your work, you then see some of the major KIX Cloud benefits coming into play. So you have much more useful information with your workload that you can use for resource consumption analysis, chargeback, problem determination. You can even use the XPI to retrieve the application context associated with tasks. So for example, instead of relying on monitoring and making decisions based upon the traditional four-character transaction ID, you now have much, much more information in the platform name, the more meaningful application name, application versions, and operations to base your decisions on. So finally, having the application context associated with workloads is also the enabler for KIX policies, as policies use the application context to work out which policies should be active. And the benefit of KIX policies, as we heard, is that they allow you to provide automatic responses when the resource usage thresholds occur. So there you have it. A few simple steps to get from managing numerous resources in KIX to an easy-to-manage single point of control across a whole Plex, with tooling to provide the development, management, and health reporting of platforms and applications, and greater useful, more client-relevant information coming back from your workloads running on KIX, with policies that deliver automated control over critical system resources. So thank you. I think it's back over to David now.
I'd like to thank our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this time, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period.
I'm showing no questions in the queue at this time.
Okay, thank you. We do have a couple of questions in the group chat. The first one is, can bundle resources be in other bundles too?
Hi, this is Brad. That's a good question. So KIX bundles define KIX resources. So the programs, transactions, and events. What they don't do is they won't contain or they won't nest other KIX bundles. So a KIX bundle cannot define a KIX bundle. But you could have two separate KIX bundles defining programs. So in that way, you could have some bundle defining a program, and then you could have a different bundle defining a different program, so you could lifecycle one bundle out and install the next bundle.
I guess as well, you could say that an application is a container for a set of bundles. And so I'd be looking at moving to using an application with a number of bundles in it if that was what we needed to do there.
All right, thank you. And the next question in the group chat. Policies on slide 19 are described as allowing checking of resource consumption, automated control, and system protection at defined thresholds. Can they also set targets as opposed to thresholds?
Hi there, Chris here. So policies at the moment contain a small set of threshold values that you can set. We know that set is small, and we've had lots of interesting requests from customers to deliver different thresholds they might be interested in. As far as targets are concerned, no, we don't have any support for specifically setting a target that we might want to go to, but we, you know, if that was something that a customer was specifically interested in and they raised an RFE or a request, we'd certainly something we'd look at and consider.
All right. Thank you. Tim, are there any questions on the phone?
Yeah, we did get a question. Eric Hoppe, I'll open your line.
Hi. Yes, my question is with about provisioning and deprovisioning of resources. Is this something that can be done dynamically? Like, for example, you know, on the the last day of the month, maybe your transaction rates, because it's, you know, it's a heavy day for usage, and you could automatically bring up additional Kix regions to handle this increased workload for that day, and then, you know, the next day it would deprovision those Kix regions because they're not needed anymore.
So, hi, Eric. This is Chris. Platforms are, we don't have any support for automatically scaling platforms, but what you can do is you can define upfront a large set of systems that are going to be, that could be potentially be used in the platform, and then leave some of those regions inactive. And when you require that extra resource, you can then bring those regions up and they'll automatically be added into the platform and Kixplex.
Okay, I see. Thank you.
This question will come from Mike Diaquinto. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. I have a couple of questions, I guess, but there's a lot I don't know about this. So one question I have are of the various different resource types that are in bundles, and are there different resource types that will be in a platform bundle as opposed to an application bundle, and then who makes that decision, right? If we wanted to have files as part of an application but not in a platform, is there any room to move those around, or we have to go by whatever has been said as far as what is an application bundle versus a platform bundle?
Hi, Mike. It's Paul speaking.
Hi.
There's no built-in restriction about what types of resource can go into what type of environment, be it platform or application. So from a purely technical point of view, you can arrange them in whatever way makes sense for you. But despite that, there are certain types of resource which are more likely to be associated with a platform, and others which are more likely to be associated with an application. And it's also true to say that in KixTS version 5.1, we still have a fairly limited set of resources that can actually be defined in a bundle. We're working on that. But you mentioned specifically a file. So we don't have the ability in 5.1 to add a file as a definition within a bundle, but it is something that you can reference from a bundle as a dependency. And any type of resource can be marked as a dependency. So if you install an application and it knows that it references a file, for example, if that file is unavailable, the status of the entire application will be will represent that. It will show you that a dependency is not available. You can organize things in whatever way makes most sense to you.
Just like to expand a little bit on what Paul said there about the different ways you might want to use the resources in Kix bundles. For applications, the application resource, the types of resources you want to put in there are really the core parts of your application that are going to be fixed. An application resource is an immutable thing. It can't be changed in terms of structure once it's been deployed. So you'd want to put in your core parts of your application. The platform, as Paul said, you know, you're typically looking at your services the platform is going to provide for the applications that are going to be deployed within that platform. And then following on from that, the application binding is where you're going to declare the dependencies for your application and to define any policies you want to apply specifically to that application. Essentially, these bundles that we're deploying are just standard Kix bundles. It's just that we're going to handle and manage the life cycle of all these bundles together as a complete entity.
All right, good. So there's room for us to move once these resources are available in bundles, but that the dependencies will help us until we get there. I have a question about about setting the entry point. We have in this one application in particular a common program that runs the entire application, and then they have their own transcode per se in the beginning of the message, and that determines what they're actually doing. And with the program being the entry point, does this prevent us from being able to set specific types of messages or an application name based on the program that we're running, as opposed to perhaps something that we could control in the data?
So just to clarify, this is a sort of menu-based sort of style of transaction where you have lots of options based on the first entry.
It's a web-based, it's a DTL-based program. So we get a lot of connections from all of the different servers, and they're sending in messages through TCP/IP, and that message invokes a URI map, which invokes one program, and then that one application program, which is actually a vendor's product, that one application program splits out from there and runs the data based on what's in the data in the message. So the message contains what it needs to do and what it's all about.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So the sort of best practice for that sort of application style would be to let the application continue to do its unraveling, but define the entry point on the programs, the individual programs that are going to be called after that event. So once you've broken down your request and know what that request is going to be, that from that point on, you then want to call a program with an entry point defined on it. So that program then begins the start of that operation for the application. The entry point doesn't have to be the first program in. It just has to be something you can call afterwards.
Gotcha. All right. That was a distinction. So the entry point doesn't have to be the entry point. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Very good. All right. Thank you.
I'm showing no other questions in the queue at this time.
All right. Thank you. We do have a couple more in the group chat. Can policy limits be modified dynamically? Can a test region be changed during execution to use production level limits?
Right. So if you want a level of dynamic capability through in your applications and platforms, the place to do that is through platforms. So with applications, the application resource is very much an immutable thing. You don't want to add bundles to that or remove bundles from it. But the platform itself has that capability to add and remove bundles. So you could essentially create a bundle with a policy in it and add that to your platform and specify that to point at the operation in the application that you're interested in. And then you could then remove that bundle and add another additional policy on top of that to replace that rule.
Yep, so adding in a bit more to what Chris said, yes, the platforms have the kind of dynamicness to Kix bundles, so you can remove Kix bundles and add Kix bundles and thereby changing the policies for them. With applications, for example, if you want the policy to only apply to that particular application, you also have the concept of the application binding, which is the glue, if you like, between the application on that specific platform. And your policies could reside in that application binding. So once you deploy a certain application to a platform, reading the question again, no, you can't modify that application dynamically, but what you can do is disable and discard that application from that platform, but not changing the application, just modifying the policy in the binding. You can redeploy that with a changed level of policy constraints to have your production level. So in that way, you can move the application from, say, your development environment to your test environment to your production environment without the application changing, but just the binding for that particular platform.
Yeah, that's a great point. So you've got your application binding there, defining the policy for a particular environment, and the platform, if you want an extra level of flexibility, you want to be able to add and remove those policies and apply them at will. Say, for instance, you're on your test or development platform and you want to be able to take an existing application and test it against some new policy rules, then you could do that in test or development by adding a new bundle to the platform.
Okay, thank you. And one more question in the group chat. How would a new copy of a program resource be handled when it resides in a bundle?
So applications have a very good versioning system. So if you had an application that defines Kix bundles, one of the additions to Kix bundles is its ID and version. So before, a bundle would have to be defined with an 8-character name. Now we have a much enriched way to identify Kix bundles, and that's via a 64-character ID and a specific version. And that gives you some sort of handle about the things that the bundle defines, so the version of the programs within it. So if, for example, new copy, you're trying to bring in a new version of the program, it would be a good idea to change the version of the Kix bundle and redeploy that Kix application, and thereby you have a much better handle on what version you're currently running with. So as you don't new copy the program directly, it would be to kind of version the bundles and the applications.
Yeah. I'd say that this is an area that we are aware of as tricky with applications at times, but we want to put down a framework first that's going to provide a protective lifecycle for applications, and then, you know, we want to provide a really good solution for this, and we don't think necessarily that a straight up new copy is the right way to go, and we're trying to develop and think and design a much more application based method of doing this that doesn't sort of ruin the integrity of the application. You know, the application version and ID really are very descriptive of what's inside that application, and having a new copy is sort of like changing the contents of that application under the covers, which kind of goes away from the idealism of an application version, if you like. So this is something that we care about and something we're thinking about, and hopefully, you know, we'll provide a better new copy, if you like, going forward.
Okay. Thank you. And we have another question in the chat. Are there any control points to consider for security to watch out for, or is control limited to the external security manager?
There is one that I can think of. So when you're developing your applications and platforms, that's done in Explorer. And once those are created, they would be exported up to the ZFS file system on ZOS. And so you need to be aware of the permissions that you have around the directories on ZFS to make sure that only the right set of people can update those resources and use those resources and see those resources. Once we're into installing a platform or an application, then we are into the realms of the external security manager. And we have some new profiles that we use to protect the platform and application resources.
We've actually got quite a, just to add to what Dan said, we've got quite a nice new application platform security model, which is it's quite wide ranging. It's not a detailed thing. We've tried to keep it nice and simple for the cloud, so you can assign security on an application level and on a platform level.
And on definitions, so you can control who's allowed to create definitions, view definitions, and install applications and platforms.
Yeah, so the principle we followed was if you have authority to install an application, then implicitly that means you have authority to create the resources that are a part of that application. So we will do the high-level, application-level check, but if you pass that, we will then install the resources across the various Kix regions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this time, I would like to advance to slide 22 and pass the presentation over to Chris for a summary of today's session.
Hi, thanks, Dave. So just to summarize, we've looked at applications from a sort of a cloud level, high-level cloud. We've looked at some of the value proposition that is cloud. We've looked at how you can incrementally get value out of cloud as well without having to pick it up and go straight for the full solution. And we've looked at some of the core benefits provided by cloud as well at a lower level. We've also had lots of really great questions, and it's been really great to see so much participation, some good questions there, some really tricky ones as well. So thank you very much to everyone for, you know, taking the time to listen to us, and I hope you've got some value out of it, and I'll look forward to seeing the results of the polls, and hopefully we can do even better next time. Some great questions on policies and security, new copy, so yeah, thanks a lot, everyone.
Thank you, Chris, for the great summary. At this time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and a sincere thank you to our panel of experts for presenting today.